Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, nice try, Kimmel. Try again, Kimmel. Did you guys hear that Fox News update there that just played? I was almost going to go grab the news story, try to grab some of the audio, but then I'm like, you know what? Why even give that guy a microphone here? Jimmy Kimmel returns, addresses Charlie Kirk comments in teary non-apology. That's a great summary here of that news story that you just heard by Amanda Harding at thedailywire.com. The late night host returned Tuesday night after being suspended for almost a week. And that was just pathetic. He's like, oh, I never tried to pin it on one group. Give me a break in your non-joke. And then you heard him say, oh, the president just can't take a joke. Dude, we all heard the audio. We all saw your clip. That wasn't even a joke. You were an angry leftist trying to blame MAGA, trying to blame the Make America Great Again movement for the assassination of one of their own, martyrs, one of their own leaders. I mean, it was pathetic. And now he's following up with another pathetic non-apology here with his return to the barely watched late night program. He said, quote, it was never my intention to make light of the murder of a young man. He said, nor was it my intention to blame any specific group for what was the actions of an obviously deeply disturbed individual. See, now he's trying to deflect. He very clearly lied on his program and claimed that somehow that conservatives were deflecting blame from a conservative who he claimed was responsible for this assassination of Charlie Kirk. When we all knew, when it was facts all over the news, for even liberal media news sources were pointing out that this guy was a leftist and a transgender occultist, basically. And we've seen so many of these shootings from these transgender motivated suspects here. And so this is just so well summed up here by the Daily Wire. Jimmy Kimmel returns, addresses Charlie Kirk comments in teary non-apology. And then to claim that President Trump can't take a joke. Dude, you basically said that you basically attacked President Trump for lowering the flags to half staff after really, I mean, you think about it. Since the assassinations of RFK and JFK and MLK, when has our nation seen a political assassination like this in front of our very own eyes? It within seconds after it took place because of social media right now. And yet, and here was Jimmy Kimmel like attacking President Trump. He wasn't even joking about it. He was attacking President Trump days after the assassination for lowering the flags to half staff. To honor, recognize what just took place in this country. A pathetic non-apology from Jimmy Kimmel. Here he is lying once again. All right, we're going to move on, though. I got a message here from Evan in Belt, kicking things off, talking about Kamala Harris's book tour, and we've got some sound bites to go with it. Stand by.
Here's a look at your Montana weather. For Billings and Bozeman. With lots of sunshine across the region for today, high temperatures stay around 80 in Bozeman to the mid-80s in the Billings area. For tonight, clear and quiet, with lows in the upper 40s to the lower 50s. And then the outlook for Thursday does call for more sunshine and high temperatures back in the lower to middle 80s. Clear skies continue Thursday night. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Securing America.
Lawmakers were in Beijing earlier this week pushing for more military dialogue between the U.S. and China. The bipartisan group met with Chinese Defense Minister Deng Jun, who described the visit as a sign of goodwill. Washington Democratic Congressman and member of the House Armed Services Committee Adam Smith was among those on the trip.
I believe we are both interested in peace and security in the world. We want to make sure that we have open lines of communication about about that, and we have disagreements without question, but I think that makes it all the more important that we have open discussions about how to resolve those differences.
The lawmakers also held talks with the Chinese premier, who called the trip ice-breaking. It's the first time a group from the House of Representatives has visited Beijing since 2019, although a group of senators did visit there in 2023. Tom Graham, Fox News.
Well, the report cards are in, and let's just say the grades are not looking good. Yeah, I know school just got back to session, but we're talking about the report card when it comes to our nation's public schools. That's what we're going to talk about on Thursday's Montana Talks. But first, let's talk about the roadless rule, the rescission of the roadless rule. That's what we're going to get to on Wednesday. It's important for our timber industry, but it's also important for public access. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10, right here.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, here we go. Here is the message from Evan in Belt. I don't know, some of you might say, you know, Jimmy Kimmel is not comedy, is not funny, but you might say that Kamala Harris's book tour is comedy. I don't know. I just think it's painful. I just think it's kind of sad to watch here, the Kamala Harris book tour. But here's the message that came in on the Montana Talks app. This is from Evan in Belt. Kamala Harris saying she didn't win the election because she didn't have enough time is like saying spoons made Rosie O'Donnell fat, Hillary Clinton is a supermodel, or Jane Fonda is an advocate of our great Vietnam veterans. The truth is, she was a horrible candidate. She's just too stupid to figure that out. She also says she didn't pick Pete Buttigieg as her running mate because he was gay. So she picked the great stolen valor Tampon Tim instead. And then Evan and Belt says this, I hate to say this, but I'm not sure Jesus himself could have made a difference with her at the top of the ticket. Oh, no, they would have hated that. They would have hated her even more. The Democrat Party would have just imploded if she would have chosen Jesus as her running mate. I mean, look, this anti-Christian bigotry that you are seeing embraced by the Democrat Party. I mean, that's why so many of them were celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I fully believe that what made Charlie Kirk so powerful, especially on college campuses with young people, was much more than politics. It was about faith and about spirituality as well. But anyway, back to Kamala Harris's book tour here. Greg Gutfeld's program last, well, everybody kind of had some of the highlights. But Greg Gutfeld's program had probably the most highlights all packed into one montage. Here you go.
You know, a lot of people are coming up to me crying, actually.
Crying, yeah. I was crying.
Yeah, but that was just me.
That night, I grieved mm-hmm. in a way that I have not since my mother died.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And it was, the pain was, it was not at all about losing a race. I knew what it was going to mean for the country.
We just didn't have enough time.
We didn't have enough time.
Oh, yeah. Well, you didn't.
And, you know, I mean, one of the reasons I wrote the book is this is unprecedented. It is the closest presidential mm-hmm. race in the 21st century
yeah.
in terms of the outcome.
Yeah.
Speaking of elephants, and then it was to the elephant in the room, that infamous Sunny Hostin question that sank her campaign. If there was anything she would have done differently from Joe Biden, to which she replied, there is not a thing that comes to mind.
I'm a loyal person. I didn't fully appreciate how much people wanted to know there was a difference between me and President Biden. I thought it was obvious. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to offer a difference in a way that would be received or suggested to be a criticism.
Yeah, that President Biden was deeply unpopular. I did realize that. You're right, you had no idea. You just pulled the pin on a hand grenade. Do you think that moment tipped the election?
No.
Good, because Sonny wasn't want to take the blame.
And of course, bitter Kamala was critical of President Trump.
This individual who occupies our White House right now,
the people's house,
has decided that he will be an emperor in his mind.
Do you sometimes just want to scream, I told y'all so, and feel free to do it right now?
It's funny, nothing comes to mind.
Reading her book is like reading her diary, Greg. Then indeed watching that episode was like getting into her group therapy where it's all about herself except for the blame.
I'm sorry, maybe it's just me, but she sounds loaded. And if it ain't booze, I don't know what it is, but she reminds me of every woman at the airport bar whose flight got delayed and she had too many daiquiris.
Yeah, it was just painful to listen to. I mean, it was like a series of Kamala Harris motivational quotes all rolled into one. Very painful to listen to. I don't know about you guys, but it was like, oh my goodness. And her claim that, well, she didn't have enough time. I mean, you guys saw it. You guys remember it. Last year when this whole thing was orchestrated. Remember, we even during our regular interview series with Dr. Dale Williams from Billings Last Diet, we talked about the deliberate sugar rush that she was getting. They specifically made it all happen at the last minute in order to try to pull the wool over everybody's eyes. They wanted to rush it through at the last minute. She had already been vice president of the United States. She'd already gotten enough attention. People already knew who she was. They already knew what she stood for, even though she tried to make it sound like she didn't actually stand for any of that in the last few minutes of the campaign. But it just like we predicted would happen, the media, Hollywood, they all went in and tried to prop her up. A year before that, they knew she was unpopular. Which is why they tried not to have a primary campaign. And so, but at the last minute, they thought, let's prop her up with a sugar rush. And then, of course, what happens when you get the sugar rush? Instead of your ideal protein in your system, you get the sugar crash. And her campaign crashed. Look at the over $1 billion she spent on her campaign, and yet she still crashed and burned. And she's claiming that she didn't have enough time. Her calling Trump a tyrant, I mean, give me a break. I guess that's today's over Pete's sake moment. Phone lines are open back after this.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. There is no thermostat in the U.S. Capitol, only thermometers. And that's why after the murder of Charlie Kirk, congressional leaders are struggling to lower the temperature in Congress. As a veteran congressional reporter, you have no idea how many times I've witnessed lawmakers try to, quote, lower the temperature after a national tragedy. Oh, they might knock a degree off the mercury a few weeks here and there, sometimes helped by a political cold front. Weather systems develop, there are dips in the jet stream, there are droughts, and inevitable thaws. In meteorology, there are always temperature norms. Yes, it's seasonal to get to the mid-90s in Washington, D.C. in August, but not unheard of to have high temperatures in just the upper 70s like this year. Those are the anomalies. In recent years, Congress witnessed the near killing of former Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, the congressional baseball practice shooting, the Capitol riot, and many other onerous events. The temperature drops briefly afterwards, then shoots back up again. The question is, will it ever change? And you may already know the answer to that. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh.
Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Hey, guys.
It's time for the Daybreak Ag Report from the Western Ag Network.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Russell Nimitz. Well, BioCirrus Crop Solutions and the Colorado Wheat Research Foundation have announced a strategic collaboration to jointly develop and commercialize climate-resilient HB4 wheat here in the United States. Now, yesterday I talked with Colorado Wheat Research Foundation Executive Director Brad Erker, who told me it's an important milestone for the U.S. wheat industry.
Russell, we are excited about this. As you know, I work for wheat farmers in the state of Colorado, and drought is a constant concern for us. And I hope that it can be a big deal for us. It's the first GMO wheat trait approved for cultivation in the United States about a year ago by the USDA. So we can now start putting it into adapted genetics in the U.S. germplasm, and then we can eventually see how it actually helps U.S. wheat varieties do better under drought conditions. So we hope to see that the same results they've seen in South America translate up to our environments. So I think with the places that wheat is grown, especially in the West where it's on arid acres, it could be a really big deal for wheat growers to help stabilize their production.
Now, BioCirrus will continue to lead all regulatory activities for the HB4 trait, ensuring full alignment with the U.S. wheat industry principles for biotechnology commercialization. This includes securing approvals in key export destinations, establishing tolerance thresholds for low-level presence, and ensuring trait stewardship through detection tools and certified seed systems. By the way, the HB4 trait will be available to any interested public or private wheat breeding program in the United States through an open licensing model. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
Montana harvest season is here, and so is wildfire season. One spark from hot equipment, a bearing, or a piece of metal can ignite a fire that spreads fast. Before you head to the field, check and clean your equipment. Keep a water source and extinguisher close. And avoid operating during the hottest, driest parts of the day. Your simple precautions can prevent a costly wildfire. This message is brought to you by the Montana DNRC, protecting our lands and communities.
Join Montana Farmers Union for the 110th Annual State Convention, October 31st through November 1st at the Yogo Inn in Lewistown. This year, you can also attend a pre-convention farm tour October 30th, a free kids camp during convention, and a brand new Succession Planning Institute November 2nd. Come connect with fellow producers, learn from ag leaders, and help shape the future of Montana agriculture. Visit MontanaFarmersUnion.com to learn more.
Well, federal judge Donald Malloy in Montana has once again sided with animal activists and environmental groups and says that the U.S. Forest Service violated the law when authorizing expanded commercial livestock grazing leases north of Yellowstone National Park. Western Watersheds Project led a coalition of animal activists and environmental groups in filing this latest lawsuit. Now, the groups alleged that greenlighting grazing would lead to increased conflicts with grizzlies and greater mortality for the bears. And that's why getting grizzly bears delisted and turning management of this apex predator over to states remains a top priority for state and national livestock organizations. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. One of the highlights I want to get to here later this morning is, well, not just one, several of the highlights I want to get to here at some point. President Trump speaking at the United Nations yesterday. In fact, it was great since we had John Jackson with us in the 8 and 9 o'clock hours of the show. He was able to catch it all in real time. because, you know, well, while I'm here yapping with you on the radio in the early morning hours of the show and, you know, and you know, sharing some of the highlights that we've already got racked and stacked for you, John's able to kind of keep his eye on X and see what is breaking right at that very moment. And so he was telling us about, you know, some of the things that President Trump was saying during his UN speech. And so anyway, we were able to play some of those sound bites in real time. Of course, I shared them at x.com/Aaron Flint, but it was an incredible speech to the United Nations. We'll get to that one. But really, the biggest one that I think stood out was President Trump talked about all of these peace agreements that he helped deliver. Peace agreement after peace agreement after peace agreement. And he called out the UN. What have you guys done? The UN did nothing to help bring about peace in any of these war-torn nations and these countries that were fighting each other. Donald Trump, in his first 6 months in office, was averaging a peace agreement a month. And I actually posted this on X about an hour ago. Tim and Savage, I don't know if you saw this one yet or not, but I got to give you the credit on this one. Because I said, where is the peace center in Missoula? For those of you that are new to Montana that have never heard of the Jeanette Rankin Peace Center in Missoula, don't feel bad because you don't hear anything from them at all. When the Democrats were getting us into wars and Trump was keeping us out of wars or now getting people out of wars, you don't hear squat from the Jeanette Rankin Peace Center in Missoula. Now, when Bush was, you know, getting us into wars and when Obama was getting us into wars and when Biden was rolling out the race, back in the Bush days, you heard about, from the Jeanette Rankin Peace Center all the time. And then after that, it was like, did they go away? Are they still there? Is that whole Peace Center thing still a thing? I mean, I think they tore down the peace sign there, you know, north of town that we used to run to on some morning runs back in the day in college. But I think they tore that down. But apparently the Jeanette Rankin Peace Center is there. Anyway, I shared this on X about an hour ago. I said, where is the Peace Center in Missoula? We know they have their pronouns in their profiles, but if they have peace in their profile, they should be praising President Trump and calling out the UN. Yeah, great post on X by the Trump War Room here, talking about the message from the peacemaker in chief. We'll get to that. See if I can play this President Trump soundbite for you here. He talked about how in just 7 months, he ended seven unendable wars. No president or prime minister, and for that matter, no other country has ever done anything close to that, and he did it in just 7 months. So again, the Jeanette Rankin Peace Center, they've got their pronouns in their profiles. Tim and Savage was the one who pointed that out because about a month or two ago, I asked the question, hey, where's the Jeanette Rankin Peace Center? And he looked at their website and all of their employees, apparently they still have a whole pile of employees. They all have their pronouns listed in their profiles. But apparently peace is not part of their profile anymore. All right, let's go to Mike in Big Timber. Mike, what's going on? Great to hear from you this morning.
Good morning, Aaron. I listened to part of the president's speech. I don't know if you've ever been to the UN building or in New York, but living there during when I was going to college, I visited there. Above the door, I don't know if you knew this, above the entryway to the UN, and I don't know if it's still there, is a quotation from the book of Isaiah, chapter 2, verse 4. They shall beat their plowshares, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their pruning, and their spears into pruning hooks, signifying that they are the ambassadors or the representatives of peace. It's a direct quote.
And interesting.
I don't believe they have done one lick, like you said, of brokering peace or doing anything. And it's to me, it's a useless organization, and as far as I'm concerned, it should not even be in our country. They should move it and turn that whole building into a low-income housing for the homeless in New York City.
Not only is it useless, actually the use that it has become has been an anti-American, an anti-Western use. It's been quite the opposite of useless. It's been used against us.
Right. Do you remember when Ahmadinejad was there and gave that speech several years ago?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I forget what he said or what caused the stir, but I remember Ahmadinejad. Yeah, he was kind of the tiny guy. Was he cross-eyed?
He railed on the United States. He just couldn't stop insulting our country. And then, of course, there was a student from Columbia asked him about homosexuality in his country. You know, why don't you treat them any better or something like that? And Ahmadinejad looked at the guy and said, do you know any homosexuals in my country? Please tell me, because they would have wiped them out, of course.
But now you've got the Iranian regime apologists waving the rainbow flags because they're in full cooperation with the cultural Marxists of America to try to bring down America. Hey, Mike, hold that thought. Speaking of President Trump's UN speech, it sure looks like it was deliberate. The teleprompter problems, the shutting down the escalator on the president. Anyway, stand by, Mike. We'll come back to you after the break if you can.
Your property with...
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. Also getting your messages on the Montana Talks app. Tim and Savage said this about Kamala Harris from earlier and her appearances on The View. By the way, if you saw her in one TV interview, you saw her in every TV interview. Jesse Waters had this segment last night where he showed how basically she was robotically memorizing her lines. She refused to answer some questions, but boy, was she good at memorizing things, because she used the same exact phrases over and over and over again on every single TV interview that she has done thus far. Anyway, Tim and Savage says, all she does is twist and turn and blame with no understanding that she was a bad candidate with even worse ideas. Andy, I don't know, tell us more about this. Apparently Andy is an expert on this here. I was talking about the Jeanette Rankin Peace Center in Missoula and how we never hear anything from them. You know, now that President Trump is delivering all these peace agreements and when the Democrats were getting us and the world into wars, we never heard anything from the Peace Center in Missoula. What happened to him? Andy in Whitefish says this. The Peace Center is like herpes. It comes and goes. So, Mike, I had your mic on for a reason there. I could hear you laughing in the background. Tell us more about that, Andy and Whitefish. Do tell.
God, gee whiz.
He's filling in for Gutfeld, I think. I think Andy and Whitefish has been asked to fill in for Gutfeld next time he's on vacation.
I'm sorry. That's herpes is serious. Whether it's coming and going, it's serious.
Spoken like a true Navy veteran, right there. There we go.
I just wanted to continue one more on the theme. The quotation that's above the entryway into the UN also is duplicated in the Book of Micah, chapter 3, verse 4. However, the prophet Joel prophesies the exact opposite, and it was they will beat their plowshares into swords and their pruning hooks into spears, signifying a prophetic a call to war by the nations that will go up against Israel. And that's the thing. I don't know if the president mentioned this, but the UN does not speak out against the anti-Semitism and the absolute railing that, that Israel is taking. And Israel is a member of the UN, but they
The UN is the anti-Semitism. The UN is where the anti, it's like ground zero for anti-Semitism. Yeah. Did you see President Trump talking about how first off, that's very interesting what you say about the inscriptions out front on the UN headquarters. I've driven past there, but never actually stopped. And I guess I just never had much desire to go see the UN. You know, it's like, but anyway, but I should, because, yeah, just seeing little things like that are interesting. But did you see how President Trump was going up the escalator and the escalator came to a stop, and then his teleprompter was having problems while he was giving his speech, which is, of course, no problem for President Trump, because if anybody can think on their feet, it's not Kamala Harris, it's Donald J. Trump. But anyway, you know, some people might say, oh, this was just, you know, an accident, or, oh, it just happened to stop. There was a report. Where was this? Was it the UK Daily Mail or the UK Guardian? I was trying to find it here. Caroline Levitt posted it on X, where they were quoting anonymous UN staffers. Oh, yeah, here we go. It was the Times reported on Sunday. To mark Trump's arrival, UN staff members have joked that they may turn off the escalators and elevators and simply tell him they ran out of money, so he has to walk up the stairs. And then the escalator actually went out. So it looks like this was clearly deliberate and intentional.
Actually, on an escalator, Aaron, at the very top or the very bottom, there's a button to actually stop those things. There used to be back in the day. I don't know how they are. But the thing that got me was, did you hear how he railed on their refurbishing that UN and how much it cost them and cost overruns as opposed to what he would have done for it?
Oh, man, I missed that part, but I can only imagine. I mean, the Federal Reserve is wasting as much money as they're wasting, imagine how much money the UN is wasting.
Oh, it was tremendous. He said he could have had, you know, what they were going to do for refurbishing and put, and instead of terrazzo marble floors, instead of, you know, mahogany on the walls, they put plastic. And it cost them close to $3 or $4 billion when he offered to do it for, you know, for $500 million. I mean, he was just, he really let them have it. And I was glad to see that. I really was.
Well, there's no more starving kids in Africa. Trump's bringing about so much peace that, you know, the UN doesn't need to worry about, you know, doing any peacekeeping missions anymore because, you know, Donald Trump's in the White House. So, yeah, they can just spend all that money on marbled floors and fancy bathrooms and everything else. All right, Mike, great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for sticking through the break to chat with us a little bit more as well here. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Thanks to our producer, Caden, for snagging this audio for us here this morning. I tried to play it straight out of X, but I was just getting the little thinking icon spinning around and around and around. But here you go.
Well, it's a fantastic role in peacekeeping. It should be great. I mean, we shouldn't have any wars if the UN's really doing its job. I know they were involved originally with Russia, Ukraine, and that didn't get done because that was the time to stop it. But, no, I always say about the UN, fantastic potential, but it's all about the people, you know. You can have a wonderful concept, but if you don't have the people. The UN has never lived up to its potential. But I'm the example of it. We do all these wars, and we weren't helped by the UN. We weren't hurt by them, but we weren't helped. They didn't do anything. And they're supposed to be solving these problems.
Yeah, President Trump is the one delivering peace. Apparently, he delivered some jokes during the General Assembly at the UN yesterday as well. I didn't even get a chance to watch this one yet or listen to it, but thankfully, Caden snagged this for us as well. Saw it at foxnews.com/video. You know, Jimmy Kimmel isn't funny, and he said some nasty things that very clearly weren't jokes, as we talked earlier, but apparently President Trump was cracking jokes at the UN yesterday.
Very much appreciated. And I don't mind making this speech without a teleprompter because the teleprompter is not working. I feel very happy to be up here with you nevertheless, and that way you speak more from the heart. I can only say that whoever's operating this teleprompter is in big trouble. Hello, Madam First Lady. Thank you very much for being here. And Madam President, Mr. Secretary General, First Lady of the United States, distinguished delegates, ambassadors, and world leaders. 6 years have passed since I last stood in this grand hall and addressed a world that was prosperous and at peace in my first term. Since that day, the guns of war have shattered the peace I forged on two continents.
All right, so not too many jokes there, just a little one there about the teleprompter at the start. Anyway, back to this whole issue, issues with the escalator, issues with the teleprompter. As we pointed out earlier with Mike, this appears to be deliberate and intentional. You know, but, of course, look at how many ways the UN undermines the United States of America. So would it be any surprise that they would try to undermine the President of the United States like this?
All right, Caroline, it does appear to be sabotage with the escalator and the teleprompter. What is the White House going to do about that?
Well, Jesse, that's definitely what it appears to be to me, and that's why I put out a statement earlier. There was some concerning reporting over the weekend from the London Times, as you pointed out, that UN globalist staffers were basically plotting to set up the President of the United States. And first it was the escalator, then it was the teleprompter, and then Katie Pavlich from Town Hall, who we offered a seat in the press pool to cover the President's historic speech today, noticed that the audio inside of the room was much lower and different for the President of the United States than the previous speaker. So when you put all of this together, it doesn't look like a coincidence to me. And I
all right, and then she basically said that there will be accountability with the UN and the staffers over this. But yeah, this is just the milder undermining of America, of course, coming from the UN.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You know, but he's explaining what this, what the goal, what the doctrine is. You know, talks about how the UN is wasting a fortune. Now, he even had a guaranteed a $500 million renovation, and they end up going over budget by $5 billion. And just what waste, fraud, and abuse takes place there. The United Nations has devolved into a useless institution. Frankly, I say give it to China. Could care less at this point. You know, but on the other hand, you know, the president is just doing their job in their absence because they're not doing it.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Hey, it's Sean Hannity here. It's no secret. I have been very outspoken ever since I was able to save money. I've been a longtime buyer of precious metals like gold and silver. In fact, I've been purchasing them for many decades now, and I'm so glad that I have. But who do I choose to help safeguard my money? Here's the deal. I've been with the award-winning precious metals dealer, Gold Co., for years now. I am a customer of Gold Co., and I was frankly relieved to find a great company that I trust and that I have stuck with, and they stick with me for the long haul. They keep it simple, and they've taught me a whole lot about the value of precious metals and how they can help protect your savings. I simply want you to call, no obligation, 855-815-GOLD, or just go to HannityGold.com. They'll send you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. You'll also learn about their unlimited bonus silver offer, and you're not going to want to miss that one, trust me. Anyway, call now, 855-815-GOLD, or just go to HannityGold.com. That's HannityGold.com today.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With lots of sunshine across the region for today, high temperatures stay around 80 in Bozeman to the mid-80s in the Billings area. For tonight, clear and quiet, with lows in the upper 40s to the lower 50s. And then the outlook for Thursday does call for more sunshine and high temperatures back in the lower to middle 80s. Clear skies continue Thursday night. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Death threats, protests, throwing plywood at Border Patrol vehicles, doxing agents, blocking traffic on Highway 93. This is some of what the deranged left-wing Border Patrol protesters have been up to in Whitefish. But is there an Antifa connection? I threw that question to Stacy Zinn, the former head of the DEA here in Montana. Her answer and much more. Check it out, MontanaTalks.com, or get the Montana Talks app on your phone.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yesterday, I think we talked about Tylenol, acetaminophen, and preventing autism amongst kids. And, of course, because President Trump talks about preventing autism amongst kids, now you got all these left-wing folks saying, what? Autism is awesome. How dare President Trump try to prevent autism? Even some of the local lefty loons were jumping in on the bandwagon there. But I also referenced the abortion pill. And how you know, Democrat operatives in Planned Parenthood in the abortion lobby refuses to talk about the harm to women from the abortion pill. So we'll get to that because Senator Steve Daines has an op-ed that is now out in newspapers across the state, and I've got a full copy of it that was sent to me via email as well here. First, though, back to your phone calls, 406-294-0970. We got Michael, I think, in Bozeman, formerly from Circle, Montana. Great to hear from you, Michael. What's on your mind?
Say, we're talking about the free speech, and I was amazed at the little montage yesterday of all the liberal outlets saying the exact same thing. Jimmy Kimmel, the most anticipated monologue. Jimmy Kimmel, the most anticipated monologue. They all had the same speaking points repeating, and where was their free speech? Interesting side note, back when Johnny Carson was on, major city utilities could see how good his monologue was because everybody was in bed ready to go to sleep depending upon how good his monologue was. If it was a bad monologue, all of a sudden the power would drop because all the television's lights would go off.
And you were an electric cooperative guy, so you know a thing or two about electricity, right?
Yes, and was just amazing that, you know, the anticipated was how good was Johnny Carson. That was true entertainment, not this political stuff that they call, you know, nightly, late-night entertainment. It's all political, and it's like I said, their talking points are all across the board yesterday. And I didn't even want to even watch him. I'm glad that those two NBC or ABC affiliates refused to put him back on the air. I think that says a lot.
Yeah, I bet he doesn't last too long there because, look, at the end of the day, like you say, the montage that you referred to points out how phony this whole thing is. His show's going away. I mean, that's why I say, hey, keep Jimmy Kimmel on the air because he's not a good... You know, when Jon Stewart was daily doing The Daily Show, he was funny. And so he ended up being a powerful voice for the left. So keep Jimmy Kimmel behind the microphone. He is an unpowerful voice for the left. And versus, whereas if they pull him off the air and they put somebody else in his place, they might actually have somebody who actually gets something done for them, right? Somebody that's actually funny. So keep the guy there. He's not funny. Nobody's watching it anyway. But yeah, if you're one of those TV station owners, you're thinking like, why am I wasting my time and my money on this guy and this show? Especially after just some of the stupid stuff he's said. Michael, great to hear from you. Thanks so much for calling in. Hey, yesterday we got a chance to catch up with Brian Massard from Reminis Angus Ranch. He was just back on at the White House with Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins. If you missed that, the full audio is on the Montana Talks podcast from yesterday, from Tuesday morning show. But I'll tell you what, Reminis Angus Ranch, if you missed the audio, you know where to find it. But if you also want to catch some of the great beef products they've got here, check out the Reminisce Angus website, remangus.com, but they've got some great jerky put together by Reminisce Angus Ranch. I've had their steaks. I've had their beef bacon. He's got a tallow product that's already out now as well. So, yeah, like I say, you can check all of that out at remangus.com. You know, the other thing, I would encourage you, follow Brian Massard on Instagram, you know, things like that, because he's given some very important MAHA, Make America Healthy Again, updates on a regular basis on his Instagram page as well.
You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
Sometimes kids play with pretend guns. It's up to us to make sure they don't play with real ones. Keep yours stored locked and unloaded. Learn more at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by End Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Check the backseat. Check the backseat. Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good. Because every year, dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat of a car by a parent or caregiver. All never thought it could happen to them. But with changes in routines, distractions, or a sleeping child, it can happen to anyone. Parked cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. So get it in your head.
Check the backseat.
A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.